Thank you, Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, July 15th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai appoints two deputies at a time he's battling with colon cancer.
Instead of appointing one, I'm going to appoint two to assist me and the vice president in charting this party towards the 2018 election. I've considered a number of factors, maturity, seniority.
A High Court grants the MDCT Women's Assembly permission to stage a protest dubbed the Beat the Ports campaign.
I would like to thank the courts, in particular Honorable Judge Mathonsi, for upholding the Constitution, especially Section 59, which allows citizens to demonstrate on whatever issue they are not happy about.
And vendors stage protest in Harare.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Movement for Democratic Change founding president and former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai on Friday increased the size of his party's presidium by appointing Nelson Chamisa and Mudzuri as his two deputies. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Tsvangirai announced the appointments at his Harare residence, flanked by his wife Elizabeth and his spokesperson Luke Tamborinyoka. This comes at a time when the opposition leader is battling cancer of the colon.
Instead of appointing one, I'm going to appoint two to assist me and the vice president in charting this party towards the 2018 election. I've considered a number of factors, maturity, seniority, demographic considerations. We must not forget that we have a young generation that is now emerging, that is demanding that we do something about that. So in that regard, I am going to propose that Elias Mudzuri will be one of the vice presidents. Nelson Chamisa will be one of the vice presidents. So in that regard, it puts closure to this and ensure that we now have a work to do and to mobilize all the people and to ensure that we have this task to discharge.
Mudzuri welcomed the appointment, saying he would work hard to ensure that the struggle for democracy in Zimbabwe was completed.
I want to appreciate the trust that the president has given me in terms of assisting him in trying to run the party.
Tsvangirai said this move is meant to strengthen the opposition party ahead of the 2018 elections, adding that the appointments would not affect his elected deputy, Tokozani Kupe. He said the economic situation prevailing in the country, that saw many people countrywide protesting against the government in recent weeks, needed the coming together of all pro-democracy forces. In this context, Tsvangirai said there was need to establish a multi-partisan national transitional authority.
The National Council resolved that there has to be a political settlement that inspires confidence nationally, regionally, and internationally. To this end, the National Council, the party's supreme making body in between Congress, resolved that the way forward is a multi-partisan national transitional authority. Once bitten, twice shy.
Tsvangirai also called on President Robert Mugabe to leave office or face civil unrest. Some analysts like Clarice Maduku, director of the Platform for Youth Development, said Tsvangirai was laying his exit strategy plan by appointing Chamisa and Mudzuri as some of his deputies.
In politics, there are many things. If it was in ZANU-PF, we would say it might be a dummy, where those who are seen within the political, within their own schemes as potential successors, you put them close, that people critically look at them and weaken them before they then have the power to take over. But in this case, there's a feeling, I think persons like Chamisa, they're fairly popular with people. So it might be that looking at his own healthy conditions, he might be bringing people who have energy. I don't have doubt that people like Chamisa have got a lot of energy. So if they come around, they might actually help to spruce up the party. And obviously, that's the future of the party.
Maduku says Tsvangirai's action was above board, as he is empowered to do any appointments by the party's constitution. It still remains to be seen whether this move would strengthen or weaken the party, which was formed in 1999. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Thanks, Thomas. MDCT spokesperson Obed Gudu was not reachable for comment, but in a Facebook message posted today that he later pulled down, he referred all questions about the appointment to Mr. Tswangirai. For perspective, we reached MDCT activist Peter Moyo, who says this is a good move by Tswangirai.
It is not going to cause any confusion or divisions. Actually, it's a blessing in disguise because, look, Nelson Chamisa, as he is representing the young people of this country. Elias Muzuri is representing his age. So what the president did is actually an excellent thing. It is going to put stability in our party. We are going to be more robust than before. Because, look, the president right now, he has been feeling well, he has been open about it, so he needs those people who have been working with him for quite a long time, those who are loyal to him, so he has seen it fit. The national executive has seen it fit to choose those people to make them vice presidents and make sure that we keep the ground going.
But, Mr. Moyo, the constitution of the party does not have provision for three vice presidents. What do you say of that?
We gave the president all powers to choose to fit any position that he deems necessary. He was given the mandate by the Congress, even if he is going to create 100 ministries. We have allowed him to do that. So right now, our constitution is clear and it can be amended to suit what we want. And if we see this working, because it's a stopgap measure, our president is not feeling well, so he needs people who are going to work.
That was Peter Moyo, an MDCT activist, speaking there with Studio 7. We also reached independent political analyst Brilliant Mhlanga, who said Tswangirai made a bad move because it looks like he's sidelining Kupe.
It baffles any form of logic if one is to critically analyze it. If anything, possibly we can glean from these actions that Tswangirai is acting exactly in line with his teachings from ZANU, that people from Matabeleland, people like Thokozani Kupe, who obviously we knew were supposed to be next in line if anything was to happen, because given the fact that Tswangirai is not well, we would have expected him to simply say, well, he's not well, let Thokozani head the organization. But what he has done is a clear suggestion that he doesn't have confidence in his deputy, who has been there for a long time. He prepares to open this to a wider race by bringing in other people from Mashonaland, which makes it very questionable, which makes it very worrisome.
But Mr. Mhlanga, we spoke to some members of MDCT who say that this idea of having these vice presidents, three of them, is to give the party momentum.
Yeah, well, but you don't give an organization momentum by actually clogging the leadership at the top and causing unnecessary confusion as to who is who when you appoint three deputies.
And that was a Brilliant Mhlanga, an independent political analyst, speaking with Studio 7 from London.
Street vendors clashed with police in Harare today when they staged a peaceful demonstration over attempts to evict them and a deteriorating economic situation in the country. There was drama when police arrested Sten Zorwaza of the National Vendors Union of Zimbabwe, who was leading the protest. Witnesses say hundreds of vendors demanded Zorwaza's immediate release, resulting in street battles with the police. An unidentified number of vendors have so far been arrested and some Zimbabweans caught in the street skirmishes were injured. There was no immediate police response on the issue. Zorwaza recently led a protest at Rainbow Towers Hotel in Harare, demanding that Vice President Phelekezela Mpoho, who has been staying there for more than 2 years following his appointment, should vacate the premises.
Despite fears over what police say is a volatile situation in Zimbabwe, the High Court in Bulawayo has given the Women's Assembly of the MDCT the green light to stage a peaceful demonstration over challenges faced by most households in the country currently struggling to make ends meet. Our correspondent Taurai Shaba has more details from Bulawayo.
Lawyer Kolwani Ngwenya, who represented the MDCT, told Studio 7 that High Court Judge Nicholas Matonsi acceded to an urgent application by the MDCT Women's Wing to bar the police from stopping a march which they intend to hold tomorrow. Ngwenya said Matonsi stated that the constitution is clear on guaranteeing citizens the right to demonstrate peacefully, adding that provisions of the Public Order and Security Act cannot be used to deny that right.
They were saying they wanted 7 days notice, but the judge is saying, look, the constitution supersedes the Public Order and Security Act, so you cannot rely on the Public Order and Security Act.
The MDCT Women's Assembly had made an urgent application to the High Court after Bulawayo police, citing what they said was a volatile situation in the country, indicated that they did not have adequate manpower to monitor the demonstration, dubbed Beat the Ports campaign. MDCT Vice President Tokozani Kupe told Studio 7 that she is happy with the court's decision, saying it upholds the superiority of the constitution.
I would like to thank the courts, in particular Honorable Judge Matonsi, for upholding the constitution, especially Section 59, which allows citizens to demonstrate on whatever issue they are not happy about. The judge saw reason that women have every right to go and demonstrate, and he granted us permission. He even ordered the police to make sure that they will provide escort during that demonstration.
Kupe said the MDCT Women's Assembly is ready for tomorrow's demonstration. She said the women want to clearly send their message to President Robert Mugabe and his ZANU-PF government that they have had enough of the suffering in the country, emphasizing that the protests shall be peaceful.
This is a women's demonstration, and you know that women naturally are very peaceful people. And as the MDC, we have done demonstrations before. We have done one in Harare, which was very peaceful. We did another one in Bulawayo, which was very peaceful, and another one in Mutare. We are back in Bulawayo, and we will make sure that this one is peaceful because we want our issues to be heard out there.
The Beat the Ports demonstration is meant to show women's disgruntlement over the ongoing economic crisis that is causing anger in the homes of ordinary Zimbabweans. Similar marches are expected to be held across the country in the following weeks. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shaba.
Zimbabweans in the U.S. and United Kingdom have criticized Home Affairs Minister Ignatius Chombo for calling them, quote, asylum seekers, being used by Western governments for regime change purposes in Zimbabwe. Chombo was quoted in the Herald newspaper today as saying, quote, the so-called asylum seekers in the UK and the US are in the forefront fomenting hate messages against government, contrary to so-called human rights views that they purport to be advancing, end quote. Chombo's statement comes after his finance counterpart Patrick Chinamasa was embarrassed by Zimbabweans living in the United Kingdom when they picketed against his visit 2 weeks ago. And tonight, the diasporans are pushing back, calling Chombo and his ZANU-PF government out of touch and undeserving of leadership. One of them is Huddersfield University political lecturer Dr. Nkulele Kosibanda.
There is no way to describe Minister Chombo has said, on the basis that the suffering of the Zimbabwean people has been continuous and sustained for over 30 years now, and that there is nothing in the economy in terms of food and the basic necessities that people need every day. The question that the minister must be asking, what must be perplexing for him and for everybody else in the Zimbabwean government is why Zimbabweans are so calm and collected under extreme suffering that no one else has experienced in the world. We are the second poorest country in the world now, just ahead of DRC. But DRC is at war and hasn't been at war for a long time. And for a country that hasn't been at war, it is shocking that the minister would be willing or attempting to blame outsiders and everybody else. I think that these people are so out of touch and cannot get it together. And they need to get their act. They need to get their thinking together.
Are we seeing, Dr. Sibanda, a government that's increasingly running scared? Are they afraid?
I think that it is almost schizophrenic, the level at which these guys are unwilling to look at reality and understand it, the level at which these guys cannot see anything wrong with themselves. I think that they need to understand that people will complain when things go wrong. I think that we also have seen this record play over and over again, where the government of President Robert Mugabe and all his ministers has never accepted responsibility for just one thing, for anything at all. They've always had somebody else to blame.
That was Nkululeko Sibanda from Huddersfield University speaking to Studio 7 reporter Ntungamile Nkomo from Britain.
Coming up,
Giants clash this weekend in Zimbabwe's Premier Soccer League.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
A driver killed 84 people and injured more than 100 others when he steered his speeding truck into a crowd in Nice yesterday at a celebration of Bastille Day, France's independence holiday.
And a presumptive Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump has announced that Indiana Governor Mike Pence is his pick for vice president, ending weeks of speculation.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The bodies of Willie Kamani, a lawyer and investigator working with the U.S. non-governmental organization International Justice Mission, or IJM, IJM client Josephat Mwenda, and IJM driver Joseph Mururi, were recovered on July 7th from a river in Machakos County, east of Nairobi. Willie Kamani, a human rights lawyer, was acting on behalf of Joseph Mwenda, who claimed he had been shot and injured by police. The three men went missing following their appearance at proceedings in a Nairobi area courthouse on June 23rd. Three Kenyan police officers were arrested in connection with the deaths and appeared at the High Court in Nairobi on July 11th, where an application to detain them for 14 days pending investigation was granted. The case will return to court on July 18th. A joint statement was issued on July 1st by the heads of mission in Kenya from the United States, Australia, Denmark, Germany, the Netherlands, Norway, Sweden, and the United Kingdom. Our diplomatic missions have offered law enforcement assistance to the government of Kenya in this matter, the statement reads. Human rights defenders play a key role in promoting human rights and strengthening the rule of law, and we are committed to supporting their work and protecting them. The individuals responsible for these crimes must face prosecution, regardless of whether they are private citizens or members of the NPS, the National Police Service. Holding police officers accountable for violations of human rights and other forms of misconduct is vital to end impunity in the police service and to establish safety and security for all Kenyans.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
A senior official in Zimbabwe's Ministry of Agriculture says efforts to revive agriculture are being hampered by government's failure to provide security of tenure of beneficiaries of the land reform program. Ivan Chifera has the details from Harare.
Colin Kabudura told a meeting organized by the Office of the President and Cabinet that government had performed dismally in this regard, as it has so far issued 3 bankable 99-year leases against a target of 200. He said, out of the targeted 1,500 bankable permits, only 121 have been issued. Kabudura said, without security of tenure, farmers were unable to get funding from banks.
Funding is undermining agricultural production as a result of liquidity constraints. The second one is limited access to finance for investment in agriculture.
Previous leases issued by the government were rejected by banks and other financial institutions. Economist Masimba Manyanya said there cannot be any meaningful agricultural production without security of ownership.
Ownership is critical for production, because when you have security of ownership, you can now invest. When the land does not belong to you, there is no incentive or sense of security around your investment, because you can lose that investment.
He urged government to speed up the provision of security of tenure to the so-called new farmers. Former Finance Minister Tendai Biti told Studio 7 that the ZANU-PF government was not prepared to give title deeds to farmers because it was using land for political purposes.
They can't give away a hypothecated title, whether in the form of a title deed or a long lease, a bankable lease, to farmers. Because when they do this, farmers will actually own. And when they own land, it means that they are free to make political decisions, which they can't make now. Because now, if you are suspected of being opposition, you are taken off land immediately.
He said all acquired land was a worthless asset, as it does not have any exchange value.
Up until 1999, 74% of bank lending was being directed to farms through agriculture. That is no longer the case, because there are no titles and hypothecated title on land. So banks don't have quality assets to lend. That's why 25% of bank lending now is now going to individuals who are buying flat screen televisions and Japanese vehicles. And that's a sign of a dead economy.
The Zimbabwean government grabbed land from white farmers in 2000, and since then, agricultural production has been on a steady decline owing to lack of finance and drought. Zimbabwe is facing a serious grain deficit, and will this year spend more than $500 million on grain imports from South Africa, Zambia, Mexico, and Ukraine. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chipera.
After realizing that many of its members always fall victim to political violence in the rural areas during election time, the Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe has decided to launch a campaign to promote peaceful coexistence among its members and the communities. Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe President Obed Masaraure says they will kickstart their campaign with a launch at Charumbira Shopping Center in Wedza, Mashonaland East, where a variety of sporting activities will be held. Rural teachers have been victims of political violence in previous elections, seasons with some losing their lives. Some local people have been accused of perpetrating the violence. Masaraure tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri the event will be graced by local councillors and headmen.
The Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe has come to the realization that teachers in rural areas at times fail to discharge their duties effectively because of political violence. This happened in 2002, and it also rampant in 2008. So we are now coming up with some sports tournaments wherein we are going to bring community leaders, which will include councillors, headmen, or veterans, to come together with the church. Then they would share their hopes and aspirations. So our initiative is to use sports to try and create a platform where we bring the community and the teachers together and try to build a rapport so that we avoid the recurrence of such incidents.
How is this initiative being received by the communities?
The initiative has been received very well by the community leaders. It has been received very well, and this community leaders also respect the state of the party where their people should go for demands without the teachers after this incident of political violence.
We have heard reports that some of the perpetrators of violence come from areas outside the communities where they cause havoc. How are you going to avoid this?
We understand very well that those who come from outside the area, they are given a list of names by the locals. They are told those who are supposed to be attacked. So when we engage these local leaders and we now have a rapport, they have found that they will not allow outsiders to come and cause violence to their community that they are dealing with.
That was Obet Masaraure, president of the Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, on the line from Wedza with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri.
And in sports news, the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League reaches its halfway mark with a top-of-the-table clash between leaders Kept United and second-placed Highlanders. Reporter Michael Cariati tells us more.
What a way to round off the first half of the season than a game between Capes United and Highlanders, the two leading teams in the 16-team Castle Lager Premier Soccer League Assembly. This fixture was not by design, but accidental, and it is good that the leadership of the Premiership for the first 15 games of the season will be decided by the top two teams fighting for the top position. Capes United lead the table with 29 points, two ahead of both Highlanders and FC Platinum, and a draw for the Green Machine at Babafiru Stadium would suit Makepekepe well. However, those who claim to know Zimbabwean football better are of the opinion that in terms of quality of players, the Green Machine are way behind. Football analyst Andrew Rozi says men for men, Boso have too much overall strength over Lloyd Chitembwe's Green Machine.
In terms of player quality, these two teams are very, very different. There's a very big gap. There is no one at Capes you can compare Bruce Kangwa, Simon Munawa, or Prince Dube. I can see Capes going down the line here.
Although he would have loved Capes United to win, Dynamo supporter Koshen Murasiranwa says the Green Machine followers themselves have no faith in their own team, adding that it is difficult to back such a side.
I was hoping that Capes could win, but the supporters have lost confidence in the performance of the team, and there are also some squabbles, and they are also demanding that the current coach should go, and I think that is going to dampen their morale and performance.
Both FC Platinum on 27 points and Dynamos on 24 points will be watching proceedings with keen interest if they want one of either boss or Makepekepe to lose to remain in touch with the leadership. FC Platinum are at home to Blauer City at Mandava Stadium tomorrow. There was a protest at Nyamunga Stadium Wednesday targeted at Sunday Chizambwa after Katuruturu sank to their third defeat in four games, with the other game having ended in a draw. However, Chizambwa says he's not worried about the off-the-field events, as he has a program which he set up at the beginning of the season, which he has to follow.
First of all, in the first round, we are trying to avoid relegation. And come second round, we'll then see what we can do next.
However, Chizambwe has every reason to be worried, as the protesting voices are said to grow louder as he visits On Fire Dynamos at Rufaro Stadium Sunday. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when our hosts Blessing Zulu and Gibbs Dube will be talking with listeners and experts about a move by MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai to appoint two more deputies to make them three. What is going on in the MDCT?
Now to recap on today's top stories.
MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai appoints two deputies at a time he's battling with cancer.
A high court grants the MDCT Women's Assembly permission to stage a protest dubbed Beat the Pots campaign.
And vendors stage a protest in Harare.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Join us at 7 every evening for news in three languages and visit us on the internet at www.studio7news.com. For more on our top stories, you can send us an email to studio7@voanews.com or text us at 001-202-465-0318. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.